And we are back, folks. Had the Canadian anthem here, but we do still have a few minutes before kickoff because we've got some festivities. But I think now it's time to talk about Queen's opponent because they've got a great one here today, the Guelph Griffins. This is a team coming in 3-1 and actually a similar schedule to the Gaels. They have played Mac. They beat Mac by 5. Sounds familiar. They played Carleton. Not quite Ottawa. In my opinion, maybe a little stronger this year than Ottawa is. Mm-hmm. And they also have a pretty dominant win over, let's say, a rebuilding team. So similar kind of schedule so far. Slightly different ways they like to get things done. Guelph runs a pretty complex offense, multiple backs in the backfield. We're not just talking about one beside. We are talking two or three guys often flanking Tristan Abood, and Guelph also likes to bring in a secondary quarterback, Marshall McCray, who is one of the leaders in touchdown runs this season. So it's a lot to game plan for, no doubt.
Yeah, I'm really curious. When it comes to Guelph here today, they have a lot to prove here against Queens. And we've seen that in previous years, this is always a tough competition. Eric, I'm more interested in your thoughts because in the last 2 years that I've actually been up here in the booth with CFRC, I've always seen these Guelph games. Can you speak to the preparation you've done in previous years for Guelph and what you remember from that and what the key takeaways that the coaches want to make sure to prepare you for this type of team?
So first I'd say our coaches always do a great job preparing us before the games, all the film, game plan going in there, how we did just coverages, speaking for the secondary. For Guelph specifically, which Jesse already talked about, but they have a really, really special player, which is number one. And when he has the ball in his hands, he's dangerous. They have a few playmakers all around the offense. So we just have to know where certain key guys are on the field and just stay in our system. We know that we have a veteran group on defense. As long as we do our job, communicate with each other, then we should be able to limit those big plays and take care of business today.
And that's the thing. Guelph has, alongside their very mobile quarterback, Marshall McCray, one of the most explosive running backs, not just in the OUA, but in Canada writ large. Donovan Malloy, who kind of burst onto the scene last year. So Guelph, originally they had a starting running back, Isaiah Smith, who is still on the roster. In fact, he is kind of their secondary back alongside the also very talented Caleb Sargent. But Donovan Malloy played so well filling in for an injury last year that he is now the incumbent starter. And this kid, he's like a LeSean McCoy. He is so elusive, so explosive. You don't want to let him get into space because he is going to make your life tough. And this Guelph defense, they like to line up with a lot of different fronts, a lot of different formations. Some key players to keep an eye on, though, for the folks listening at home or, of course, at Something in the Water Brewing. Number 98 for the Griffins, Curtis Woodmansey. Big, physical, hard-nosed defensive end. The linebacking core, Brandon Farrigo, had a really strong season last year and looks to be doing more of the same. Anthony Mortuzzo, who at that Sam linebacker spot has a pick six of his own. He's had a great season as well. Anakin Guthrie, who was dangerous against the Gaels. He had a pick against Alex Vreakin 2 years ago when we played at Guelph that I remember quite vividly. So there's a lot of playmakers on this Guelph team, and admittedly, Guelph always makes me nervous. In 2021,
don't remind me,
Queens won, and it was a great game, but it came at the cost of Richard Burton, a difference maker on that offense, and the offense, unfortunately, wasn't the same quite after that. 2022, they beat Guelph by 50-plus points. Mm-hmm. However, they also lost James Keenan in that game, the start of the Alex Vreakin era. Last year, close, contentious, controversial at times. Guelph had a touchdown turned down, led to a Gale 7-point win. So these are two teams that are no strangers to each other, and every time they play, it is physical and it is entertaining. And we are just seconds away from kickoff here at Richardson Memorial Stadium. We're going to have more info for you about our title sponsor, Something in the Water, again at halftime. We have a great interview at halftime as well that I conducted with Queens equipment manager Jeff Meller, but we are off and running. There is the kickoff, and there's that man, Ian St. Arnaud, fielding this one. He's got a few blockers in front of him. He cuts it up, but he goes down.
Yeah, he's going to go down right around the 9-yard line. And there we go. Whoa. That's an extra bit of roughing. No flag. I have not seen any flag thrown yet. A little bit of extracurriculars taking place between Queens and Guelph, with the Guelph player going and want to make sure to use that extra bit of force. Eric, you've been out there for that sort of environment. How do you respond and keep a level head?
I'll say one thing. We always have to stay steady, make sure we don't do anything dumb that causes a flag. But Guelph is a team. It's been close games. I played them probably 5 times, and 4 of those were really close down to the last few seconds. They're scrappy. They're going to do whatever they have to do.
And we do have Jarek Asari actually starting things off. He's listed as number three on the depth chart, trying to give him some much-needed rest. But he's kicking us off here. We've got three on the right-hand side for Alex Rican, and it is going to be a handoff to Kasari, and he is immediately met and taken down. And I do believe that is big Curtis Woodmansey. We talked about him just a few moments ago, and he is a playmaker, a difference maker at that defensive end position. And it's already an early second and a little longer than normal for the Gaels. They move back about two. So second and 12 coming up from the Queens. Looks like about the 26-yard line altogether. So some early struggles here. And we're already in a passing situation, and that's been boom or bust for the Gaels this year. Three picks last week. You want to make sure Alex Rican is feeling comfortable. He's getting in rhythm. He's got young receivers. He needs to connect with them here. And we are going to see multiple men in motion. But it is going to be another handoff to Kasari. And Kasari is stopped again by this Guelph defense. Great play there by Javon Jacobson, the free safety, reminding us of Eric Colonna with his read and react on that one. And just like that, folks, it is third and 12, and the Gaels are going to punt this one away. And this is a new player. I don't know if you've had a chance to watch much of this guy, Eric. Matt Driver. First game action last week against Ottawa. This guy can kick like a mule. He has got a rocket in that right foot of his. Let's see what he can do here with two Guelph players back to return.
Should have seen him in practice last year. He's kicking out of the end zone.
We saw him at the Gold game in the spring of 2024, and he was one of the players that impressed us most. Great snap. Ooh, he skies that one. He does get it off, though. It's going to be caught right around the 47-yard line. And we are going to see a block in the back. Yeah. And there's Raheem with the wrap tackle.
We also see two flags down on the play.
Oh, come on, guys. Keep it under wraps. Already early on here, physical and let's say confrontational football. My goodness.
Yeah, so we did have two flags that went down on the play. I'm unsure. I'm not the expert here.
Definitely a block in the back.
I think it was a block in the back that we saw. We saw a bit of extracurriculars, more of what you're not supposed to do as on the defensive end. So I believe that's probably going to send Guelph back, if I remember correctly.
15. Mm-hmm. They may have been an offset because it looks like they might be moving them back 10. So that could have been maybe in no yards. But either way, Guelph is going to have decent starting field position just over their own 35. I think this is going to be spotted at the 37. So here's our first chance. Look at the Guelph offense. Big Tristan Abood, number 8. This kid has got a cannon. He threw a beauty of a pass last year against the Gaels. Let's see what they do here. And you can see multiple men in motion behind Donovan Malloy. And it's going to be a handoff to Malloy. And Malloy is going to be met and dropped. Liam Sutherland and, of course, Big 99, Silas Hubert, combining for a stop there, and it's going to be second and long in what is shaping up to be a defensive back-and-forth battle.
I think it's going to be a big battle of defenses here today. Both these teams have proven that they are more than capable of stalling each other out, and it's going to be who can get hot quickly on that offensive side. And once again, we might see special teams make the difference.
And we have got basically five receivers moving. It is going to be a pass. Abood is under pressure. He gets it off, but he takes one heck of a hit. Jared Seaway going to secure the tackle, and that is going to be with forward progress, either third and short.
Third and short.
Looks like they are going to mark him a little bit short. Great rush there on Tristan Abood, but credit to the kid. He hung in the pocket, he took that hit, and he completed his check down pass, and he gives the Griffins a chance to possibly convert. And here he is, somebody you highlighted, Eric. Mm-hmm. Marshall McCray entering the ball game, and this means it may not just be a sweep. This is a guy who could fake that sweep, or fake that sneak and bust it out as a sweep. Ian St. Arnaud also running onto the field, so Queen's clearly worried about the speed gap here. Snap, and it's fumbled, but he is going to get it. Snap was dropped. Marshall McCray kept a cool head. He did recover it, and with forward progress, that should be a first for the Griffins, and
yeah,
indeed it
is.
Yeah,
I think we can already see the tone of this game is different than every single other that we've seen this season. Of course, we were not in person at Windsor, but I'm still willing to bet that this team's more comfortable with each other. They are confident, and this goes for both Guelph and Queens. That level of physicality is dialed all the way up. Not to mention the fact this is the alumni game. I don't know if we mentioned that. We got Eric Colonna here, of course, as an alumni, but you also want to go and show up for them.
So here we go. First and 10 from about the 45. It's a play-action pass. Silas Hubert does get a rush in. And that one is long, but Keegan Vanek, those red gloves shining in the sun, look like he might have had another one. He leads the OUA with four interceptions, three of which coming in the last two games. Vanek has done his best, along with the excellent John Korsgaden, to fill the very large shoes left by our broadcast colleague, Eric Colonna. This is going to be second and 10 for the Griffins, and they are close to midfield. It looks like this snap is going to be just shy of the 50-yard line, about the 48. So second and 10 still a 0-0 ball game if you're just joining us. Guelph and Queens, a rivalry that is heating up. Abood's going to drop back to pass again. Hubert is coming in, but he is going to get the pass off and dropped. That is going to be a turnover situation now, and we do have a player down.
That
looks like John Korsgaden.
No, I think that's Pace.
Oh, that would be a disaster for this team. He is clutching his leg, folks.
He looks like he dived for that one and landed awkwardly.
He's being tended to by the skilled hands of Evan Knapp Fisher. But Richardson Stadium collectively holds their breath here as Justin Pace is tended to by the training staff. I'm hoping it's maybe just
Rolled ankle,
maybe a Charlie horse. Even a minor contusion would be better than what an injury of this nature can be. We don't want to speculate. What we do know is Justin Pace laid out to make a play on that, and he's coming up a little limp, but he is coming up, and it looks like they are going to be able to hopefully get him off the field under his own power, head to that training table, get himself tended to. They are calling some people over to give him a hand. Folks, we are going to take a quick second. Our first quarter of action is brought to you by Old Farm Fine Foods. We want to thank Old Farm for their continued support of Queens football on CFRC. As Justin Pace does jog his way off the field, good for you, young man. Old Farm Fine Foods takes pride in serving only the finest and freshest in local produce, meats, and a la carte meal items. Swing by 204 Berry Street to make your next meal a memorable one. And this next punt return could be a memorable one for Ian St. Arnaud, as he is just a few yards away from the Queens' single-season record. In fact, I believe it's less than 10 that he needs. He's lined up at the Queens 25. And let's see if he gets the return off. It is going to arc to the right, and he's going to have to chase this one down. Ian St. Arnaud does get it. He's looking for any kind of space, but he is not finding any, and he is not going to break the record on that return. Good job by Guelph to bottle up arguably the best special teams player in Canada right now, the explosive Ian St. Arnaud. I've never seen anything like it. The entire arena, just collectively, you can feel the electricity. Everybody is holding their breath, wondering what second-year player Ian St. Arnaud is going to do when he gets the pill in his hand.
And that's a tough play there, because you can see he does a great job charging the ball on a field kick, which is very, very hard to do. That's where you kind of hope for one of them to be in the neutral zone there within 5 yards, but unfortunately just blew up the return.
Credit to the Guelph special teams unit avoiding that no yards. And now it's going to be Queen's second possession. It's going to be first and 10 from the Gales 31. Jerick Asari in the backfield, but so far hasn't gotten anything going. They're going to give it to him again. And he does find something.
Oh,
he's breaking right. Jerick Asari in a foot race is brought down, but he's in Guelph territory. And once again, we see a little bit of physicality, just a bit. But you can see that's the veteran difference there. Asari, he doesn't respond to the jawing. He takes the hit. He takes the ball. He jogs his way back to his team. A great run there from Jerick Asari as he has flipped the field. We are in Guelph territory for the first time today. And that is Jerick Asari's first run for positive yardage today. This is going to be one of those back-and-forth contests. This Guelph defense, they are formidable. Three down linemen and two rush linebackers lined up right now with three more in the middle. Freakin has got trips on his left-hand side. He's looking for Kasari. He checks it down. He throws it to James Preston.
That was a close one. So what we had happened there?
Wow.
Bounced in his hand. So amazing coverage. So we saw that Guelph was more looking towards zone coverage in that sort of scenario, and that gave for the extra time and ability, because that ball was basically a little bit of Butterfingers bouncing off the head before bringing it in and right down to the ground, securing it, making sure that we have that completion. Queens is going to be going from Guelph's 21-yard line.
Can never be easy. A play that maybe started out as more of a low-difficulty one became high-difficulty, but credit to James Preston. He pulled it in when he needed to, and it is first and 10 for the Gales from the Guelph red zone. It's going to be a play-action pass, a screen pass, but Vreeken is looking long. He has got a man, but he can't quite connect. That was Logan Walton trying to track that one over his shoulder. What a beautiful ball from Alex Vreeken there. He nearly got him on what looked to be his first checkdown. Was actually an H-back screen. You could see James Preston turn in, expecting it. Guelph read it. So Alex, in something that is as much guts as brains, decides, you know what? We're sending it. He sent that one to the corner of the end zone, and he was maybe 2 yards away from lighting Richardson Stadium up with that beautiful pass. But here we go. It is going to be second and 10 from the Guelph 21. It is a 0-0 ball game here, but the Gales are moving. Jerick Asari is moving in motion, but staying into pass block. Vreeken is going to find Nathan Falcone. Falcone cuts it away.
There we go.
And Falcone takes it in. Queens is on the board. Nathan Falcone, who has been so reliable for this offense, catching, cutting, running, scoring. What more could you ask for? Number 16, have yourself a day. His first catch, and he's already on the board, Zayden.
Okay, so he was under coverage from multiple players from Guelph there, and you just saw him go follow that ball, and we talked about the biggest issue for these Gales is going and bringing it in and confirming that catch. Falcone went, demonstrated that, bringing it right on in and getting it done.
And that's a very talented player there. Falcone, I remember when he came up back in 2020, it was COVID, with the extra point going, and it's good. Falcone came, I was training with him at the field a few times. We didn't really even know each other that well because we were all separated during the pandemic. Mm-hmm. But I could tell right away, great at route running, great ball skills, and he's showing it every week. When he's in the red zone, you got to look for him as the other team because he's making plays in, plays out, and he's getting in the end zone.
And it's not just from a straightforward slot position. Last week they brought him in motion. They gave him a little pop pass. There's a reason why it works so well in College Football 25. It is hard for the defense to read and react. Nathan Falcone getting the Gales on the board. It is a 7-0 ball game, and you can see him. He's fired up down there. Jared giving him his props. Coach Cam giving him his props. And Eric, that's got to feel good when a coach is telling you, hey kid, great play.
Yeah, it always does. And, you know, coaches do their part. They got to be very hard on us throughout the week and when we mess up, but it's always great to have that positive reinforcement also. And do your job, go out there, but now it's just about resetting because, as we said, Guelph does not go away. This is probably going to come down to the wire because both teams here know how to not surrender and just keep fighting.
Guelph is probably, outside of Western, the other team in the OUA that I think plays at the same physicality level this Queens defense does. Last week, it's something we noted. Zayden and I were kind of struck by how aggressive and physical the Queens defense was. And Tyler Mullen here, kicking this one off, is going to be fielded right around the 10-yard line. And let's see if this defense can make a play here as number 39.
Oh, yes!
Whoa!
That's how you do it.
Talk about a shot down the field. Number 39 for Queens. Like a rocket.
That's
making a
be
beautiful tackle.
Kale Warren. He shot right through the entire, and I saw Raheem going and talking to the boys, getting them set. They had a game plan there. They knew the pocket they were looking for, and they used it to get it done.
4-4 back on the field, folks.
Okay, pace is still back out there.
But what a play from Kale Warren.
I love
it. Filled his gap. He sort of missed the initial wrap.
Listed as the third string
wide receiver. That's how you make a name for yourself. First and 10 for the Griffins. They are looking. That is a pass complete. Dawson Matthews Reed, though, a quick wrap tackle. So it's going to be second and middle distance for the Griffins. Kale Warren on that kickoff. Something we talked about last week as well. We were so impressed by DJ Ryan and his effort. Kale Warren, go ahead and make a play, kid. One of my favorite anecdotes from the NFL, Terrell Davis, before he was the starting running back for the Broncos, talked about how he earned that opportunity. On kickoff, he went down and he laid the lumber. That's a good way to get coaches get their attention. So here we go. Second and 5 or so for the Griffins. We've got trips on the right-hand side. It is going to be a pass. Good coverage.
Let's go, Ashton.
Oh! Ashton Miller-Melanson gets a hand on it, knocks that one away, and we are in a punt situation. And Eric was reading and reacting as quickly as Ashton did. If he was maybe a half step more, he might have had that second hand.
So you could just see there, Ashton's in the low zone. He's reading the quarterback, following out to the sideline to get underneath number one. Now, I know Ashton, I think his first ever OUA pick was against Guelph.
Yes.
Pretty much in the same spot with Keandre Smith behind him. And I know Ashton, although it was a great play, he's not going to be happy with that one because he wants those interceptions.
Smart, smart kid. Governor General Award winner. One of the smartest guys on the team in the classroom and on the field. And speaking of on the field, number 6, Ian St. Arnaud is back looking for his second crack at history. What a punt. He's going to have to chase this one again. Backpedaling. He does secure it, but he is not going to be able to do anything with it. Credit to this Guelph team. They clearly don't want to be the third team in a row to surrender one to St. Arnaud as he is stopped up with little action or drama. But I just have a feeling you can contain him, but you can't stop him. And he's got something big brewing. He always does. But, hey, just like that, the Queens defense, a 2-and-out to match the 2-and-out the Griffins got to start the game. It is a 7-0 ball game here at Richardson Memorial Stadium. It's alumni day. We've got alumni in the booth, alumni in the sidelines. And you know what? I'm sure at half we'll probably have alumni on the field, whether they were invited or not. So here we go. The Gales, first and 10. And they're going to get this in good field position right around their own 39. Let's see what they draw up here. It is going to be a pass. It is going to be to Nico Cuomo, and he is going to secure it.
Oh.
Oh, he nearly made something happen. He caught it. He slipped a little bit. Kudos to the Guelph player. That was good restraint on his part. Oh. It's always tempting when you see a guy with one knee on the ground. And unfortunately,
that knee now.
Defensive back for the Griffins is down. Let's take a moment to hear from our first quarter sponsor, Old Farm Fine Foods. It is a 7-0 ball game here at Richardson. We do have a Guelph player down. We're going to hope that everything is A-OK. But for the time being, hear a word from our first quarter sponsor.
Looking for the best in fresh produce, meats, and cheeses? Need to stock up on everyday basics like coffee, milk, and eggs? Drop into Old Farm Fine Foods at 204 Berry Street to gather your farm fresh groceries, frozen meals, and a la carte food items like homemade pizza, soups, and sandwiches. There's something for everyone at Old Farm. Pop in today.
We are coming back, folks. We do have a Griffin down. We're not sure as to who. We don't have a number on that. We're hoping it's nothing major. What had happened on the play prior is Nico Cuomo slipped out into the flat. Alex Rican hit him on a great out route. Cuomo caught the pass, went to turn up field. He lost his footing, and kind of simultaneously, so too did the defensive back for the Griffins. Thankfully, Quamo's okay, and we're hoping whoever that was out in coverage for Guelph is okay as well. Something we noticed in the first couple weeks, a lot of the injuries we were seeing were related to the extreme heat and humidity. They were cramps. I don't know if that's what this is, but I'm hoping so. So that's number three, Miles Lefoussade for the Griffins, who, thankfully for him, was kind of already near the sideline to begin with, so he's going to get that express route to the trainer's table. Let's hope it's nothing serious there. But the Gales, they've had a serious start to this football game. A couple first downs and a Nathan Falcone touchdown sees them up 7-0 with 7 minutes to play here in the first quarter. And let's see what they've got rolling. This has kind of been the story for the offense this year, though. The first quarter, they are sharp. They are pistol hot. And then there's a bit of a drop-off. Let's see if they can maintain that momentum as we're going to have a handoff to Kasari. Kasari isn't going to find much at first, but he does manage to fight his way forward for a few yards. Great job by the Guelph run game there. They stopped him up outside. He cut it back in. Veteran play. Got what he could, but he found a lot of white, red, and black, and not as much tricolor as I'm sure he would have liked. So it's going to be second and looks like six.
I like the play there because you really saw that even, I believe it was Quim that came in from the side just to go and have that extra blockage. Of course, not turning into anything there, but there's still great opportunity here for the Gales as they have more of a balanced formation.
That's right. We've got Nico Cuomo and Nathan Falcone on the right, but it is going to be a handoff to Kasari, who was breaking left, cuts it up, and he is going to be close to first down yardage. I think they're marking him third, but it is third and pretty short. Another veteran play there from Kasari, who, once again, kudos. This Guelph defense, they are not letting him break it out. Oh, it looks like my depth perception needs a little bit of work. So it's going to be third and five. So this is a punt situation, and we do have big Matt Driver on the field, 6'7" and full of muscles. He's going to look to pin this Guelph special teams unit deep. Just his second dressed game of his career. Former soccer player, joined the team late into last season, spent all summer working out, working hard, and let's see if he can get a great result here for this excellent Queens punt coverage team. He's going to have to get it off quick, though. What
a
punt. You can hear Richardson Stadium all ooh and ah. That's going to be fielded at the 8-yard line and tackled up at the 10. Holy cow.
Flag on that play, though. We're going to see what exactly happens here. But that went above the press box. And there's a lot. And you can go and talk about the wind tunnel that we have here at Richardson Stadium, where you have a fine line around the field that is normally okay. But as you get out there, it gets real windy. And even through the wind, you can see that beautiful spiral as it went tunneling, plummeting, bombing right towards that 10, and all the Gales, like a creeping barrage, was able to go and follow it up right away.
A howitzer shot. I'm just saying, I think by the time that ball came down, it had some frost on it. He might have put that one into the stratosphere. I've never heard a crowd react like that to a punt. Everybody just, ooh, ah. Matt Driver, that's what this kid is capable of. And once again, that's his second dressed game, and he is putting on a show. We've got a little break in action here at Richardson. Guelph is going to start this drive from about their 11-yard line. There was a flag that was down, but either it was declined, it was picked up, or there was an offsetting one, because they are going to start from where the kick was caught. But you know us. We love Aiden Cowan. He did a great job for the Gales, especially in relief. Originally starting off as an injury replacement, found a great niche for himself, a great role. But Matt Driver also has more than made a name for himself here on special teams. And special teams has unquestionably been the strong point for this unit. Yes, of course, Ian St. Arnaud. But even beyond that, it's not just the flashy plays. It's excellent coverage on kickoff. It's lockdown coverage on punt return. And Raheem, we know he was an All-Canadian 2 years ago doing exactly that. Eric, did you ever play that kind of gunner role at any point in your football career?
I only played a little bit on punt the field side for punt. I was usually more of a contained guy or returning here and there. But Raheem has done an amazing job, and other guys too, you could see, but just getting down the field fast, getting through blocks, just blowing it up for everybody else. When I first started here in 2018, we had a few amazing guys that are doing just that on kickoff, and it makes all the difference for everybody else. You need those players to sacrifice their body, put it on the line, and just go blow up the play, and it makes everyone else's job easier. You could see what it did for them for a field position right here. Now, Guelph's pretty much backed up. They're going to look for a few yards here. We normally expect screen plays or short runs, maybe a double count to get some free yards off the start.
And you can see Guelph has got, to start that play, literally eight guys, basically, behind Tristan Abood. Actually, that's Marshall McCray, so it is going to be a handoff. And they are going to find some space for Donovan Malloy, and that is a bad angle for the Gaels. Donovan Malloy is breaking it down the right side of the field, and unless we can get a tackle from behind, what an effort from number 26. Oh. But Donovan Malloy breaking, taking, and tying this ball game, and that is a 90-yard touchdown run. He took that short handoff. Queens, they were creeping up a little bit, maybe expecting that screen or that short run, Eric. And by the time Donovan Malloy got to that next level, despite a heroic effort from Keegan Vanek, who I think closed about 70 yards in 5 seconds, he couldn't quite trip Donovan Malloy up. And we are an extra point away from a tie ball game. And credit to Guelph. They have responded in kind. This is going to be a good one, folks. You knew it wasn't going to be easy. Guelph has responded with a haymaker of their own, and it comes from that explosive future All-Canadian running back, Donovan Malloy. And it is a tie ball game. Right into the crowd. Nice catch.
Yeah, right into the student section. That's a really tough blow to the Gaels because you can see every single one of those defenders coming off. They want to go, they want to check a replay, want to know, they have to call an audible, figure out what the heck just happened. And the biggest part of that, and Eric, I'm sure you can speak to it, because no defense is perfect. It's more about how you can take a play like that and turn it into motivation to do better that very next time. You can't let it, and I know that mental sort of side of things, you can't let it stack up in your mind and start to weigh you down. You got to let it go and play your best game.
Yeah, and, you know, the defense has been doing a pretty good job today so far. It's one really, really long running play, but maybe getting off the block a bit earlier, a made tackle here. So you just got to look at it as a defense, what you can do moving forward, and there's nothing to worry about. It's just you got to limit those plays and not let them happen
exactly
anymore. It's a long game.
For me, when that happened to me when I played, we almost, not accepted, but we could understand one of those kind of freak long plays. The drives that killed you are the ones where they are getting consistent first downs, and they're making it look easy. Take a breath. Respond, retaliate. If the offense can get a few first downs here, give that defense, which has been the hardest working unit on the team, game in, game out, a chance to catch a breather, no problem. Hey, 0-0 again. It is a tie ball game, 7-7, and this one is going to, what a kick, be fielded at the 2-yard line by Russell Weir, listed as an athlete, and he is an athlete, and he is finding some space.
Let's go, Russ.
He's cutting
Let's
it
go.
Left. He is going to be knocked out of bounds. Good tackle, clean tackle, but what a return from Russell Weir. We called his name a ton last year, and it's so great to see him making that meaningful contribution once more. That is a 36-yard return from Russell Weir, athlete extraordinaire. I'm telling you, this kid, he has got speed on speed, and he showed it off there. And some good cuts, some good recognition, little shoulder fake to lose one defender. And you know what? Credit to the kid. He took one heck of a hit, popped right back up, no harm, no foul. First and 10 for the Gaels. They've got trips on that right-hand side. Jared Kasari, we were wondering how much he would play. So far, he has been the sole ball carrier for this Queens team. Quick little pass to Nathan Falcone, but hit him in the hands, hit the turf. That one was a little low, admittedly not necessarily where you wanted it as a receiver, but still, hit him in the hands. That is a catchable ball, and that's something that we talked about at the quarterback club on Thursday. And something Coach Snyder mentioned is he's like, look, we've got a lot of young guys out there. It's chemistry, it's timing, it's experience. A little surprising to see that from Nathan Falcone because he has been a key contributor for so many years. But same thing with the defense. Shake it off. He's going to have a chance to make a play here. And that's a guy who I know. Setbacks motivate him. Look for him to do something special sometime soon. Second and 10. Vreeken is looking for a man. Instead, he checks it down. That is Nathan Falcone dragging across the field and picking up a first down.
Needed that.
There you go. And you know that's a confidence reset for Falcone. And once again, the Guelph player kind of rubbing up against him. It's like NASCAR. They were swapping paint after the play. Nathan, cooler than a polar bear's toenails. Doesn't let it bother him. He just makes his way back to the huddle. First down, Gales. It is going to be first and 10 from about the 47-yard line. Like what I'm seeing so far from the offense here. It's a 7-7 ball game, less than 4 minutes to play in our first quarter of action.
Yeah, Vreek is going to have Trips on his right-hand side this time. No one to his left. Has Kasari with him. Okay, snap. Vreek looking to sky one up. Skyward.
Oh,
Quimmel gets narrowly denied.
Great coverage there. That was a hand exactly in that kind of catch pocket for the receiver. Great effort by Quamo, great throw by Vreeken, but you got to give it up. That is just an excellent play by the Guelph defensive back there. Plays like that, there's not much you can do. When a guy makes that read, makes that play, I mean, Eric, you made a career out of doing it. What'd you see there on that incompletion?
Well, at first I was looking at the other receiver. I brought my eyes over late, so I just saw the end of the route. And it was a really good job by the DB. You know, as a Queens guy, I hope they caught it, but I can respect how he was on the high shoulder for that post ball, undercut at the last second, got his hand in there for the PBU.
And that's the thing with this Guelph defense. They are one of the best athletics programs for a football team. They've got Tavius Robinson in the NFL, so they get top quality dogs. Screen pass to Kasari, and he's got some big dogs in front of him, and Kasari is taking it right. He breaks one tackle, goes out of bounds, first down. And I will tell you, this Queens offensive line, they're like dogs on hunting season. They're pulling on the chain. And they just pulled the chains about 15, 20 yards downfield, giving the Gales excellent field position.
I want to highlight something. We noticed that a lot of the Queens running game, we can look at the last year as well, and Eric, you don't have to confirm or deny this one. There was not as much passing to Kasari as that handoff to Kasari that we are oftentimes seeing. So to go and force him into that block or the pass option, it's making Kasari a double-edged sword in this sort of scenario, where you hold it right in the middle, and you just got to chop right through.
Like Darth Maul, he's got two blades, and we're going to see a handoff to Kasari again, but Kasari unable to slice his way through the Guelph defense there. So it's going to be second and 11. But you're right, Zayden. Last year, Kasari was more of your traditional kind of runner. Every now and then, I want to say he maybe had 10 catches across the course of the season. It wasn't often, but it was effective, and we saw it there. And that's something they ran last week, especially with Jaden Guernsey-McDonald. One of his most meaningful contributions in that game was a 20-plus yard screen pass, and it's something Alex does so well, those quick little timing misdirections. His quarterback draw play is always outstanding, and he's got a natural and feel for the timing of screen passes. He's just such a smart kid. I know his dad, I know his brother, I know Alex. Yes, I'm biased, but you got to give credit where due. That was a fantastic play. It is second and 11 for the Gales. It's going to be a handoff to Kasari, and he is fighting forward, and that's a good gain. But they're not going to get anything going here. Likely a punt situation. It's a bit long.
That's a bit long.
Yeah.
So we're sitting right around the 42-yard line.
It would have been about a 50-yarder, which is only kind of a desperation thing. Mullen's got a great leg, but it's a lot to ask of that kid, especially since it's a bit of an uneven wind. It's been switching directions on us a few times, trying to watch the flags.
Only one flag. So we got the flags on the field goal post. Only one of them is moving right now.
Here we go.
Maybe they're going to go for the 1 point. Try to kick it off the back.
1 point can make all the difference. Matt Driver is going to kick this one left. It is. Oh, my gosh. What a kick. That is going to. Oh, my gosh. He nearly got that down and out. So, folks, that punt by Driver. And you could tell that was more of an effortless kick. He didn't have to put much leg into it. But it was an angled punt to the left-hand side of the field. It touched down and nearly bounced out. But kudos to Guelph. That was a good heads-up alert play. The returner got the ball, dove forward, and it's always one of the most exciting things is to actually watch those returners try and avoid that rouge, that single point. It's always such high drama. So it's going to be first and 10 for the Griffins. This time they're starting from the 20 as opposed to the 10. Maybe that'll be more beneficial for the Gales since Guelph's only points of the ball game so far was a 90-yard touchdown run from Donovan Malloy, and he is in the backfield again. So explosive.
They got 26 in, too, so they got their both running backs look.
And it is going to be another handoff to Malloy, and he is going to find space again, going down after a gain of about 8 yards right up the middle, and that was almost like an option kind of setup. You could see McCray kind of hold on to it. He made that decision. I don't know if that was, and it's something they've talked about before, a lot of RPOs, especially in the college level, are kind of pre-programmed. I'm not sure if that was the designed play or if that was a read he made, but either way, it was effective. That's going to be about a 7 yard gain, so second and 3, maybe 4, right around the 25, 26 yard line. And Guelph has found success running the ball, and they're going to do it again here. But that time it is stopped up.
Here we go, Pace.
By Justin Pace. Face-to-face with Justin Pace, not a place I'd like to be. That kid hits it harder than almost anybody I've seen wearing the tricolor. My goodness, that is a grown man kind of stop. Best on best. Who's going to prevail? That time, it was your Golden Gaels. But Guelph, they are keeping – there we go. They have moved some playmakers off the field, but Marshall McCray is on the field. It's third and about two with less than 30 seconds to go in our first quarter of action, a 7-7 ball game here at Richardson Memorial Stadium. This has been a great game so far, so evenly contested, so back and forth. Guelph dominating more on the ground. Queens right now getting it done by air. Marshall McCray is in shotgun. He's got a three-back set beside him. Multiple men in motion. A pitch, but it is missed. And that is it for the Griffins. That is a turnover on downs. They flew a little too close to the sun. And those Griffin wings right now, they're dripping wax as the Gaels take over inside the Guelph red zone. A costly mistake there from Marshall McCray. So explosive, but boom or bust. And that time, well, there wasn't the kind of boom they were looking for. Instead, Queens is knocking on their door.
So that's a really scary situation now for the Griffins as this defense has to come on and there's no room for error. And I told you, and I love to say this about the Gaels, so it goes the exact same here for the Griffins, where when you're stuck in the red zone to start is when you step up and you know you have to make some of the biggest plays you can. And I'm going to look to this Guelph team to be able to do that. Even more so, I need to see and make sure that these Gaels have what it takes.
Logan Walton in the ball game, number 13, single coverage on the left-hand side. Vreeken is dropping back. He is looking right. He's looking for Falcone, but he's going to go down. Great rush there from Guelph. That brings us to the end of our first quarter of action. I want to give a shout-out to our first quarter sponsor, Old Farm Fine Foods. In addition to their top-notch grocery service, did you know Old Farm Fine Foods also offers catering and delivery services? Look up Old Farm Fine Foods on Shopify to see the full range of services they offer, or swing by 204 Berry Street and inquire at the cash. Hey, while you're there, be sure to pick up some of their hot, fresh coffee, albeit maybe not today. Let's hear a word from our sponsor, and then we'll be back with the second quarter, sponsored by the man in the booth with us, Eric Colonna and Pick 6 Athletics.
When you start with pure ingredients, every meal is a feast. And your feast can begin at Old Farm Fine Foods. Carrying products grown by local farmers and with organic farming principles, Old Farm Fine Foods features fresh produce, milk, eggs, meats, cheeses, and more. Takeout and catering options are also available. Visit Old Farm Fine Foods at 204 Berry Street. Follow Old Farm on Instagram today to stay in the loop about their daily specials.
Founded in 2020, shortly after many athletes had their seasons canceled, former Queens defensive back Eric Colonna created Pick 6 Athletics to help athletes develop and continue to improve regardless of their circumstances. Now, Pick 6 Athletics is one of the most respected names in tailored coaching, with a social media following of over 157,000. If you want to be your best, your first pick should be Pick 6.
A good ad.
It is a good ad.
Thank you, Eric. I worked hard on it. I am glad that you're digging it, and I hope everybody listening at home is digging it. It is a 7-7 ball game here at Richardson Memorial Stadium. It is Alumni Day, and it's been one heck of a game befitting the quality of the alumni here. Vreeken dropping back to pass. He is under pressure. He is throwing to the end zone. That is Matteo Tuioti.
Oh, what a grab.
Looks like they're going to rule that incomplete. I thought he had a foot down. It would have been a first. Oh, looks like they are ruling it a first down.
Okay.
So it is first and goal. No touchdown, but a great grab by Matteo Tuioti right at the corner, right hash of the end zone. And now the Gaels are threatening to put more points on the board. What a throw from Alex Vreeken, stepping up into the pocket, avoiding the oncoming rushers, and making one beautiful dime to Matteo Tuioti. We saw James Preston, who's more of your blocking H-back. And let's see if, I think that's Anthony Leo down there for the sneak. Come on, kid. Leo is going to be stopped short. Good grab there. Although, some unnecessary after-the-whistle play to compound it, which is a shame because it was a great play by that Guelph defense. It is a 7-7 ball game early, very early in our second quarter of action. so early, we haven't had a chance to shout out our sponsor. But don't worry, after this drive, we will. Because if I don't, I'm worried the man in the booth is going to lay one heck of a hit on me. I've seen him do it before. So here we go. Another second and short. And Anthony Leo, make these moments matter, young man. See what you can do. Let's see if he can cross that line. More of a delayed sneak, but he should be in.
He's in. There he is.
Anthony Leo, number 7, putting up 6. And a good effort there. Also kind of a delayed sneak, so he didn't take it and go right in. He took it, kind of stopped for a second, broke it left, and managed to just sneak, wiggle his way into the end zone.
He bobbled it a bit.
Oh, that could be.
He had to regain it.
Oh my gosh, you got to play
to the whistle blows. That's my opinion on that
absolutely.
One.
Absolutely.
You saw it there, and you saw him force forward and did not stop until that whistle went. And that's what led to the touchdown there. That's what gave him that extra tiny little inch that he needed. And that's the type of drive that the Gales need to go and make a difference in this game.
That's a great point, Zayden. He played through the contact, played until the whistle, and Anthony Leo puts up his first touchdown of this game. I know he had a few last year against York, but we haven't seen too much of him this year, but he's making it count. Eric, rather than me doing the scheduled ad read, why don't you just tell people a bit about Pick 6 Athletics? We've got you here in the booth.
Oh, beautiful. Thank you very much for the opportunity. Pick 6 Athletics is a company I made a few years back during the pandemic when we weren't having a season, no one in high school was having a season, and I've learned a lot over my football career, and it's all about giving back. So it's my football training company, specified for defensive back training, and I got a big presence online. I started posting content a few years ago, and I've been training defensive backs and linebackers in person out of Mississauga. So if you know a defensive back, tell them to look up Pick 6 Athletics on any social or our website's pick6athletics.com. It's all about just developing the next generation of DBs, helping them master their craft.
Paying it forward. And trust me, if you don't know Pick 6 Athletics yet, if you like football, your For You page will eventually put that forward. I know it did for me. But that's what we love to see. It's Alumni Day. We've got a Queens alumni who has set up his own business, and a pretty successful and pretty great one at that. And we appreciate the little bit of cross-branding here. That's what we like to do at CFRC. We love to uplift local businesses, but also Queens-affiliated ones. And Tyler Mullen
puts his whole leg
into that one, fielded at the one-yard line. And
DJ?
DJ Ryan going for the slap. Actually, I really like that play by DJ. He had the angle. He knew the returner was heading out, so why not try to make a play on it? I really liked that. That was a great heads-up play by DJ Ryan, but I was also watching Raheem.
Go ahead.
He went with the slab. He used the club hand.
Yeah. He was bringing it down. I was watching Raheem run. My goodness. He's so fluid when he gets that full stride. I watched him come from the left side of the field, break right, still in his lane. I thought he was going to make a play on that, but the Guelph returner, driven out of bounds, actually quite a bit shy of that 20-yard line. So I think this is first and 10 from the 14. And it is Tristan Abood. And we have got multiple running backs in motion. It's going to be a handoff to, I believe that is either Isaiah Smith or Caleb Sargent. I'll get a number on that. Forgive us, folks. There's a lot of them back there. That is Isaiah Smith. So he was the former starter. Donovan Malloy, though, we saw it earlier with a 90-yard run. You can understand why someone as talented as Isaiah Smith was able to lose that starting spot, but he picked up 7 there, so it's going to be second and short. And this Guelph offense, it is hard to keep track of. And that's, we're up here, we got the bird's eye view. Imagine how hard it is from field level. My goodness.
So, it makes for a lot of difficulties, but I am looking to this Guelph. I think we've seen Abood show some great flashes. He's going to go fake the handoff and go for the pass. It's going to be a first down for your Griffins.
Yeah, good play there from Abood. Just a quick little play action. Hit him on the slant. That is William Arsenault, who is the leading receiver for the Griffins. Good play there. That's a really tough one to defend. They played the run well. It was second and short, so you're expecting, especially with the success they've had, to continue that run game. Understandable. That one is just a great play from Guelph. Not a lot you can do on that one. So it's going to be first and 10 from the Guelph 33. And once again, kind of like the Miami Dolphins, it's all about the motion on this offense. Let's see if Abood can make something happen. He's under pressure, but he avoids it. He is being chased down by a very intimidating man, and he is tackled by another one. I thought Silas Hubert was going to come in and hit him from behind, but Justin Pace right place, right time, makes the play there as it's going to be second and middle. But credit to Abboud. That's something he really struggled with last year, was feeling that pressure and responding appropriately to it. Early in last year's Queens Guelph game, he had a fumble generated on a strip sack because he just didn't feel the defensive end coming. This time, he felt the pressure. He stepped up. Great play. Second and five from the 39. Let's see what Guelph draws up here. They have got a stack, four receivers on the left-hand side. He's looking, going through his progressions. He's under pressure again, and Abboud is going down. That is Hubert. That is Liam Sutherland, and that is number 52 for the Gaels. Ollie Jackson, elastoman. His long arms, those long levers, helping to secure the sack there. And just like that, Guelph's going to punt this one away. Well, we were talking about Abboud's ability to feel pressure. I don't know if he felt that one.
I just want to say quick, that just shows you how good the defense plays together. Our front seven is amazing. The coverage of the past two plays has been great. Converging on the routes, not giving the quarterback any spacing. I'm just watching all the routes and everything develop, and it just goes. You play together, this is a very tough defense to go against.
So here we go. Ian St. Arnaud still looking for that record. I think with that, he will have it, but he's looking for more. He's breaking left.
What a block!
He has got space again. He cuts it out. That is a great return from Ian St. Arnaud, picking up well over 30 yards, setting the new single-season return record for the Gaels, and it is week five. Week five. Wow. And he's already rewriting the record books. What a play from Ian St. Arnaud. Sorry about that. Guelph's got a great player named Arsenault, but that was Ian St. Arnaud setting the record. But great blocking there from the punt return team. They gave him a chance to very nearly make more magic happen.
You can see Guelph was preparing for exactly that, too. They wanted it to go to Ian St. Arnaud because they've been studying and preparing for him more than anything else. And that's just a huge compliment when a team prepares for you. We've seen the exact same thing for Kasari.
Especially when you are a special teams player. Two men on the left. It's going to be a handoff to Kasari, who is looking left. He's got a hand on one of them big offensive linemen, but he isn't able to find much purchase. No, it reminds me of Devin Hester with the Bears, where even when the offense wasn't necessarily playing at the level they can play at, Devin Hester was more than making up for that. And this team does have some Chicago Bear tendencies. Great defense, great special teams, and an offense that is figuring it out. Now, that being said, I'll still take Alex Vreeken over Rex Grossman any day of the week. Current day and prime. But let's see what the Gaels have dialed up here. We've got three on the right-hand side. We've got two on the left. Kasari has been the bell cow back. He had one great run earlier. Other than that, it's been tough sledding against this multifaceted Guelph front. But we're going to see another handoff of Kasari. And he had a little bit of north and south, but started breaking east and west. And he is definitely feeling that one. Guelph is playing a physical, aggressive scheme on defense. They are almost selling out at times to stop the run. They'll have a 4 or 5-man front, mostly comprised of linebackers, and they're still playing the safeties high. And that is tough sledding. It's going to be a punt from the Gaels. 0 yards on two plays, both runs. This Guelph team, they came to play.
It's an interesting one. Now we're going to have to turn our attention back towards special teams, something that has really saved the Gaels in a lot of instances. Mm-hmm. Can Matt Driver get the Gaels out of a bad position? Good snap. Has time. Skies it up. That one's going to be lower to some of his other ones. Bouncing around the 20. Almost messing up. Fields around the 10. Forcing the player back.
Uh-oh.
Able to make two miss.
Uh-oh.
Cutting along the side. Looking towards the left side of the field. Has room. Has range. He's able to break free of one before being bounced along the sideline. And you know what? Need a little bit of dominoes. He's just going have to force some players into one another.
I'm glad you noticed that. The great return there from Guelph. We saw some great attempts. That's probably the longest punt return I've seen the Gaels give up this year. But towards the end, as the Guelph returner was being kind of cordoned off to the sideline, we saw a Gaels player shove one of those big blockers and, yeah, create that domino effect. It was like two planets colliding, doing enough to push him out of bounds.
DJ's a very strong and physical player. I'd expect to keep seeing him run into stuff. Just blowing it up. Don't need strategy when you just blow it up.
I like that description. I expect to see him continue to run into stuff. That is an apt descriptor, as we have Marshall McCray, number one for the Griffins, back in the ballgame, and that is another pitch. This one is much more successful. No hold tallied. However, there was a fumble. I'm not sure if
I think the Gaels have this one.
If it's tallied as a fumble, the Gaels would have it, but he may have been down. It was a pretty bang-bang play there. But yes, Eric, there was, you know, that's one where the fans saw it, but the referees may have saw it a little differently. A potential hold missed, but
you know, you can't count on the refs. I'd say one thing. We know Guelph Like we were saying earlier, they're scrappy. They'll hold a bit if they can, especially on specials. But also the ball security has been a problem for them in the past. So we just got to keep getting on the floor and give ourselves a shot at it.
And I was going to say, that pitch was not a guarantee.
Somebody just threw up on the field.
That is a day of firsts here, and that is going to be a first for the Griffins. We saw somebody lose their lunch, and actually, I have
that was a really clear shot.
I guess Guelph stopped at the wrong en route on the way up.
Probably.
Clearly. When I was in grade 11, we played the city championships here, and I remember very vividly, and I won't disclose his last name, but a buddy of mine named Nick, right at halftime, he threw up in the right-hand corner of the end zone, close to where Mateo Tuioti made that catch earlier. So this field has seen its fair share of, foreign battles.
That one was just, you saw it right away. It was nothing. It was center shot for us.
Hot day here, folks. Marshall McCray keeping it again. This time he is eaten alive by two of the big boys up front.
I think
that was Darian Newell and Eric Johnston as your kind of primary stoppers there. Definitely Eric Johnston was in on that one. I think that might have been Andrew Mullins Grant.
Darian Newell's on the side.
Yeah, that was Andrew Mullins Grant.
Big Drew.
Oh, good for him.
Yeah, you're going to have a tough time running up the middle against those big boys.
And that's an interesting note as well, possibly in there because Guelph has been so committed to the run right now. When you have a body like that, believe me, I was a body like that. You are stopping up those run lanes as much as possible.
And we got Drew coming off. I know the Silas is going on, and they switched their quarterback, so expecting more pass here. Get the
Ollie,
pass rusher in.
Silas, Eric, and, of course, Van Wishart. Eric, speak to some of the leadership Van Wishart provides for this defense. You played with him for quite a number of years.
Yeah, me and Van go back to 2018, so we've been here for quite some time. Van's an amazing guy, and he's not a very vocal person, but he's been getting more vocal over the years. Leading from example, though, he's always doing the right thing, always putting in extra work, and you could just tell looking at him, that guy is a unit.
Oh my gosh.
And he is very strong and definitely a leader on the defense.
Apologies for the stoppage here.
We had a little bit of VOM cleanup. Cleanup on aisle one. It is 2nd and 9 for the Griffins. It's a 14-7 ball game here with 7 minutes and 15 seconds to go here in our first half of action. And it's going to be a bootleg to the right-hand side. But Abood's running out of time. But he finds his man, William Arsenault. Great grab, tackled up by Keegan Vanek. And that is the best pass play Guelph has seen today. A designed quarterback bootleg. Still, though, Abood had about a half second more before he was going to be picking up his mouth guard. They sent an aggressive run at him, but hey, stayed cool under pressure. What a throw on the run. My goodness. So talented. He had a great one against you guys last year, a beautiful long touchdown throw. When he gets going, he is hard to deal with. Such a talented passer. Let's see what they do here. It is going to be a play action. He is under pressure, and he is going down. Ooh. And that is Van Wishart. We just highlighted him. Van Wishart. Old man Van, he's still got some life in those old legs of his. My goodness.
And that just goes to show you again, secondary and up front playing together. The quarterback was looking for a slant there on the inside. I think it was Josh McBain did a great job reading the play action, dropping out of there with urgency, getting in the window, and not letting them get anything there.
And McBain's a scary guy in coverage. We saw him with that pick six against Western last year. If he gets his hands on the football, he has got so much great straight line speed. That's a dangerous player. So 2nd and 13 following the Gale sack from the Queens 31. It's going to be another pass, and he's under pressure again, and Ollie Jackson just barely missed the sack. Abood completes it, and that is going to be about a 7 or 8 yard gain, but they are going to be short of first down yardage.
That's still
however,
field goal range.
Ollie Jackson was just fingertips away from securing that sack. We do have a Guelph player down, one of the big boys up front. That is number 67, Thomas Bourakis, who is taking a much needed break. So let's play another ad here. We'll talk to Eric about pick six as well, because we've got the man who runs the business in the booth. We'll be back with you shortly, folks. It's a 14-7 ball game here at Richardson Memorial Stadium.
For Pick Six Athletics, the goal is, and always has been, to help you reach your dreams and create your legacy. To learn more about Pick Six Athletics and the services they can provide, visit their website at picksixathletics.com today.
So we heard the pre-recorded, but once again, let's get it straight from the mouth of the man himself. Eric, tell us a little bit more about Pick Six, our second quarter sponsor.
Pick Six Athletics is all about becoming great at football. It's my company I started a few years back. It's for football development, defensive back specifically. And I've been training guys in person in Mississauga area, focusing a lot on the online side of things because there's football players in rural areas across the seas, some guys in Europe or China, and I've been working with them online.
Wow.
And it's all about just helping guys develop who have the passion to do it. I learned a ton at Queens through our great coaches and players, and it's just all about giving back and helping develop anybody who has the will power to work hard and learn.
Okay, I just want to go and highlight something here. We got Ian Serrano behind the field goal post, and you know the number one thing on Guelph's mind right now is don't mess this up.
Yeah, no kidding. That is
so there's a lot of pressure here. You can feel the electric atmosphere mounting here at Richardson Memorial Stadium. Can Guelph get it done?
Nicholas Guardio, this would be a 30-yarder, so well within range. But a miss could spell disaster for the Griffins. However, crisis averted. It
sigh
is a
relief.
14-10 ball game. No kidding. A little bit of a sigh of disappointment, especially from our super fan, Peter. But Guelph, I think they will be happy to take 7. But you know they really wanted more. It was a great drive, but a couple tremendous quarterback pressures aided in large part by the coverage. Stop that Guelph drive short. It is a 4-point ball game, 14-10. And Eric, I'm glad you brought it up. The synergy between the front and the defensive backfield. We see a lot of coverage sacks for this Gales team where they may not necessarily be in there within the first 5 seconds to disrupt the quarterback's timing, but as the play stretches out, guys like Silas, guys like Darian, guys like Van, they have so many moves, they can make it happen.
And I'll go both ways too. Maybe we mess up a bit in the back end, but they get there early, so we do each other's favors. We all play for a great coach back end. Just as long as everybody does their part, even on the long pass we saw earlier, just got to have a little bit better eye control. And nothing's I'm noticing is crazy. It was a missed tackle on the really long run earlier. As long as we just that's what he's going to be telling them at halftime. Just got to stay in the system, play. The effort's looking good, but we just got to make sure we got good eyes, good communication with everything, and let the rest of it take care of itself.
So, Eric, if a program offered you a chance to join a coaching staff, would you take that or would you keep with pick six? Because you've got a great opportunity either way there. Or do both.
You know, as much as I love football, I'm just focusing on growing the training aspect of it with pick six athletics. Coaching, there's so many great things, and I love being around this team and the program for so many years. And I think about it all the time. It's always great here. But now I'm just focusing on I feel like my biggest impact to the football world will be helping guys specifically with defensive back. That's where I'll be able to get back the most and help all around.
It is such a difficult position. It's such a perfect blend of athleticism and intelligence. Not for everybody, but the guys that love it clearly love it. Here we go. First and 10 for the Gales from their own 35. Freakin is dropping back to pass. He throws it a bit early, but Falcone catches that one. Spinning
there we
in
go,
space.
Falcone.
Okay, I got to go like the reaction speed. Buddy should be an F1 driver out there. He turned back. You can see his hands were ready in front like he was driving a car, and he turned the car right around before he was getting ready for that forward progress. The Gales right around their own 52-yard line. Griffin's player down, but man, oh man, Falcone, we talked about it earlier, he had that little drop, but once he gets motivated, he gets going, no stopping him.
And it was interesting, Vreeken, either it was a pressure decision or there was a bit of a miscalculation with timing, because he threw that, Falcone hadn't fully engaged yet, but he managed to get his eyes on the football, get those hands in that position, and it's so funny, football's such a funny game. We saw him drop one that he definitely probably should have had earlier. He catches one that he probably should have dropped there, spinning and getting a first down for the Gales, and once again, knock on wood, but this is one of the better games from this Queens offense so far. The run game hasn't necessarily been there yet, but the passing game, if Guelph's going to sell out to stop the run, if they're going to send everything to stop Kasari, well, unfortunately, there's a very underrated quarterback the Gales have that I think the nation is going to have to start paying attention to, because this kid, he's won at the high school level. He led Frontenac to provincial championship, probably at the expense of my beloved Sydenham Golden Eagles. This guy has been putting in the work. He's somebody who I live in the West End. I live near Invista. I would see him late at night, lights on, out there with his dad, the esteemed Eric Vreeken, my sixth grade teacher, and they were throwing. They were targeting. They were tossing balls 40 yards deep into garbage cans. This is a kid who has put that effort in, and I am so excited to see him blossom. And something that Jeff Meller, which you're going to hear the halftime show interview with him, he noted that Alex is one of his favorite players ever. He loves this kid. He's got a great attitude, and he's a high IQ guy. And yes, of course, the three of us are a little biased, but so far, he's been having one of his better games this season, looking sharp. It's first and 10 for the Gales. 5 minutes to go in our first half of action.
Freaking bounce for formation. Bad snap. Have some time. Skies it up. Finds Falcone right along the queue. Falcone breaks the side. Breaks one. Right around the 40. Tries to break two, and he's going to go out of bounds. Right around the 35-yard line. And that is how you work for forward progress.
Very nicely done, Zayden. You could feel that one. Like Nathan Falcone, now you're in the zone, and you're unstoppable
right
now.
He's energizing me. I'm sorry. It's those plays, Jesse. Mm-hmm. He comes in here. He doesn't just get the team going. He gets the fans going. He gets me going.
He is having a great game so far. He is the leader in terms of touchdowns for this receiving core. He, alongside Nico Cuomo, those are the leaders for this receiving room in general. We talked to Nico a little bit on Thursday. My goodness, he's a guy where you see him from up in the booth and you think, you know, that's a strong, lean receiver, but you meet him in person, oh my gosh, he is nothing but